Daniel chapter 2, verse, turn me down just a touch, bro. Daniel chapter 2, verse 26, Bible says, the king asked Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it? Daniel replied, this is good. Everybody say, this is good. No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery is asked about, but there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the days to come. Your dream and the visions that pass through your mind as you lay on your bed are these. As you are lying there, O king, your mind turned to the things to come. And the revealer of mysteries showed you what is going to happen. As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me not because I have greater wisdom than other living men, but so that you, O king, may know the interpretation and that you may understand what went through your mind. You looked, O king, and there before you stood a large stone, a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. And while you were watching, a rock was cut out, not by human hands. It struck the statue on the feet of iron and clay and smashed them. And the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were broken to pieces at the same time and became like chaff on a threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace. But the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. Lord, oh Lord, it is good to hear from you, Lord. It is good, Lord, that you speak to our hearts, Lord, that you come near, Lord, that you have great and wonderful plans, Lord, that you give us plans that we can be part of, that we can grab onto. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that as you speak to Nebuchadnezzar, and he grasps to understand, Lord, that there is help to us today, Lord, that we can grasp at what you have going on around us and be part of it. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Seems so long ago. Last Sunday, my wife was gone. After church, she went to go visit somebody in the hospital. And JJ was gone doing something. And I was all alone. And you know, anybody ever have a hard week, hard month? You know, and sometimes you just got to unwind, right? And it says, it has been said that the measure of a man is what happens, what he does when no one's looking. Amen? And sometimes left alone, we don't do so well. And so stressed out from the week and really stressed out from the month and all alone, I went out to my garage, and I lifted the hood to the Super 88, and it's been leaking, and I haven't been driving it for several months, and there's a leak right behind the water pump, and I said, I'm all stressed out, I'm just going to relax. Juan Carlos knows what I'm talking about. Just kind of do a little work on my car. And I start taking off all the parts, the fan and the belts and all this stuff that's in front of my water pump. And I get it, and I start taking and the bolts are tight. I'm going, oh, no, don't be too old, car. And I'm taking them off, and I get them all off. And then I remember, oh, yeah, because I had done the water pump on this before. There is a bolt, and I don't know. Right behind the main crankshaft pulley, the harmonic balancer. And it's like, oh, man. man, that's a pulling that thing off is a whole different job than I was thinking. And I'm thinking, oh man, if I pull the main pulley off, I just do the whole front main seal, and it just starts getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And sometimes you start some stuff, and it's more than you expected. Amen? That's the title of today's message, More Than Expected. And we're going to take a look for this week and next week, a new series, Thanksgiving series, called God is Worthy. God is worthy of our thanks, and we're going to look this way. And who knows? You know, maybe we just get lined up on Daniel, although Christmas is coming. But anyway, this week and next week, we're going to look at the Babylonian king named Nebuchadnezzar. It is Nebuchadnezzar who takes the Israelites into captivity and who destroys Jerusalem and the temple. He rules Babylon from 605. Now, this is BC, so you've got to kind of count backwards on this. 605 to 561 BC, about 45 years. He became king after the death of his father, Nabopolassar, at the tender age of 25. Joe turned 21. Tomorrow? Today.
Tomorrow.
So stand up, Josh. Stand up, Joe. Or actually, Juan back there, how old are you, Juan? 22? 20. Stand up. These men, Taylor, stand up. Matt, stand up. Looking at the young man in the house.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. That is a picture of what Nebuchadnezzar looked like as he was preparing to die. But these young guys, you look how young they are. You guys can sit down. That's how young. I mean, 25 years old, and he is reigning over one of the superpowers of the day. He leads three major campaigns against Jerusalem, 605, 597, and 587. His main opposition at the time is Assyria, who had destroyed the northern kingdom of Israel at 721 BC, and Egypt. And in fact, they had linked up to fight Nebuchadnezzar, and he had defeated them in the Battle of Carchemish in 605 BC. And kind of on the way home, as an afterthought, he goes by Israel, which is kind of like a nothing. I mean, kind of like a nothing state at that time. And he takes the cream of the crop, takes Daniel, takes those first wave of captives. God is going to use this man as a tool to judge the sin and the idolatry of Israel. We have in the book of Daniel the revelation of God's plan for Israel. We also have a display of who's running that plan. And it's not Nebuchadnezzar. See, God reveals the plan to give the Israelites something to grab onto. Title of the message, More Than Expected. And we will read the rest of Daniel chapter 2. So we'll read verses 1 through 6. And I have them up here on the screen for you. And talk about God sending this message. In the second year of his reign, 27, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, and the astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, I have had a dream that troubles me and I want to know what it means. And the astrologers answered the king, may the king live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will interpret it. And the king replied to the astrologers, this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me, what my dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces and have your homes turned into rubble. But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So tell me the dream. Interpret it for me. Nebuchadnezzar is looking for answers. He is, in this second year, he is still facing all the challenges of getting his empire lined up. And he's still dealing with Egypt, and he's still dealing with Assyria. The astrologers that come, all the wise men that come, they are from the nations that have been conquered. Because what he does, and he borrows this technique or this structure from his father, Nabopolassar, and also Alexander the Great did the same thing, that from the conquered people, he would take the best of the best, and he would take them with him, and they would then rule his expanding kingdom. Among those that are taken are Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And here we see Nebuchadnezzar is looking for an interpretation of his dream. And he calls in the wise men, magicians, astrologers, enchanters, sorcerers. And being a man of war, he's not looking for a lot of conjecture. Men of war are very concrete. In war, you win or you lose. In war, you grab on or you let go. Amen? The wise men are ready with answers, but he's not sure he can trust them. So he comes up with a test. He says, you tell me the dream, and I'll trust your interpretation. But if you can't tell me the dream, you're just wasting my time. You getting a feel for where he's coming from? Let's keep on going. Verses 8 through 12. The king answered, because they said, hey, tell us the dream. The king answered, I am certain that what you're trying to do is gain time, because you realize that this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me the dream, there is only one penalty for you. You have conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping the situation will change. So then, tell me the dream, and I will know that you can interpret it for me. The astrologers answered the king, there is no one on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods. And they do not live among humans. This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. And the wise men are in danger. Nebuchadnezzar is not messing around. He inherited these men from his father. The astrologers are the Chaldeans. We got a lot of Chaldeans in El Cajon, East County. Same group of guys. They are the aristocracy of Babylon. And they would have been the ones that were working with his dad. And they're like, Nebuchadnezzar, come now. Let us help you out here. You really don't know. You're catching a little condescension here. Nebuchadnezzar says, you better give me something to grab onto, or I'm going to take care of you. See, Nebuchadnezzar is feeling the influence of the supernatural here. He's freaking out. He can't sleep. He is, this is more than I can understand, more than I can fathom, more than I can grab onto. And he's asking for a miracle. And the wise men know it. And they finally reveal the truth. You know, we're surrounded by so many lies in our culture, and nobody gets called on it. Well, these guys are getting called on and said, nobody can do what you're asking us to do. Only God can do what you're asking us to do. And he's not around. But see, the thing is, Nebuchadnezzar is being tapped by a God who is around. Amen? His whole life is going to be spent. He's 27. His whole life is going to be spent fulfilling the plan of God for Israel. And God wants him to know. He's given him a glimpse of forever so that Nebuchadnezzar can grab on. Amen? More than expected. I've been talking about loving your neighbor as yourself. And several of you have spoken to me today and yesterday saying, this is more than I expected. Romans chapter 13, Romans chapter 14. Natty talked to me today. Selma talked to me today. I was going to talk to Natty, but she's in there interpreting. So, Sally Leone also talked to me. Come on up here, Miss Yourself. You know, she was going, please let me come to the front and talk, Pastor Bob. Yeah, you can ask her about that later. So we talked 3 weeks ago, right, about loving your neighbor as yourself. And I, being me, I gave her a wealth of information and advice that she could take right home and put into practice. But she didn't do that. She instead looked for other advice on Facebook. I'm just letting you know. You don't know what you're going to get on Facebook. But all kidding aside, Yoseli, you got a thing going on with your neighbor, and you're like going, really? God wants me to really deal with this. And you've been struggling with this for the last 2-3 weeks.
I have.
So have you loved your neighbor as yourself yet?
No.
Has there been movement?
No.
I thought there was a little bit.
Well, I decided loving my neighbor meant to leave her alone.
I said, no, 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 no. If I ask my wife, does loving you mean leaving you alone? She says, no. Wow. That was last Sunday. Oh, no. All right, so then, what's God telling you? And just share with us the tension a little bit.
Well, I'm having a real struggle with it. You know, might not know I have anger issues. But now God is sending me their packages to my door. So I have to go knock on their door. She wasn't there. She wasn't the one that opened the door, but now I know that God is telling me that I have to talk to her. That I have to resolve it. Me leaving her alone is not enough.
Amen. Amen. All right, hey, before you go, let's pray. Just extend a hand. Lord Jesus, I just thank you, Lord, that you call us to do the hard thing, and you come near, and you give us the ability to grab onto that hard thing. I pray just guide Yoseli through this, and Selma, and Natty, and everybody else struggling with that neighbor, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 That was hard to get Yoseli to come up here, by the way. All righty. Let's continue going. We're going to read from verses 16 and through 18 in chapter 2 about God drawing near. Because when he wants you to do something, he comes right close. Amen? He's living in Yoseli's house. At this, Daniel went into the king and asked for time, because he's got a death sentence right now, so that he might interpret the dream for him. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. That's the Hebrew names of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And Daniel gets caught up in the dream. He's caught up in the life of Nebuchadnezzar. And he is trusting God for a miracle. Now, we really don't know anything about Daniel previous to Daniel chapter 1. But he was most likely part of the royalty, the ruling class, the aristocracy of Israel. And that he was scooped up in the first wave of captives by Nebuchadnezzar. But he grew up most likely, supposition, but under the religious reforms of Josiah, King Josiah. There was a revival that occurred under his reign, and Jerusalem and Judea turned their eyes and put them back on the Lord and were living their lives lined up on him. And we see the effects of that in Daniel chapter 1, where the excesses of the life of Nebuchadnezzar and the court of Nebuchadnezzar were being pushed upon Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And rather than grab on to Nebuchadnezzar and all that was Babylon, they said, no, we're grabbing on to the God of Israel, and we're going to continue to grab on to the King of Israel. Amen? And the God of Israel comes near and guides and directs them. And in the same way that God is touching Nebuchadnezzar, he's touching Daniel. Because, see, Daniel goes to the king. I mean, and that's a miracle in itself. I mean, he is sentenced to execution, and he gets an audience with King Nebuchadnezzar. It takes God to put that together. Amen? And so we saw his favor in Daniel chapter 1, where the Lord worked on the officials. And so we see that as well. And what God is doing is he is going to weave, because Daniel's a young man too. He's going to weave these two lives together and entwine them. And they will both carry out his plan for Israel. Amen? I mean, I never realized how young Nebuchadnezzar was. We know Daniel's young because he lived so long. He lived 70 years in captivity. So he had to start off young. Are you tracking with me? See, God's nudging Nebuchadnezzar, and God's nudging Daniel too. See, when God comes near, when God has a place in his plan for you, he'll shake you awake. He doesn't want you sleeping through it. And he comes near to you, and he gives you the opportunity to grab on. And so he comes near to, he's already come near to Daniel. Says, Daniel, I got a place for you in my plan. And Daniel grabs on. And when God does a mighty thing, God does mighty things right here, right in this room. And he comes near to you, and he gives you the opportunity to grab on. Amen? Some of you are experiencing that. Like he's coming near to Yuseli, like he's coming near to so many. It's more than I expected. But you do God-sized thing when you grab onto God. Amen? Amen? All right, let's continue reading. Verses 19 through 23. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells in him. I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors. You give me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king. Daniel gets a message. God reveals to him the dream, the plan that is still unfolding around us today. Now, Daniel had seen political turmoil. In 608 BC, King Jehoiakim was placed on the throne by Necho, king of Egypt. And he was a puppet king. And then in 605, Nebuchadnezzar comes and scoops up the best of the best. And he's part of that. He sees what kings do. There are some of those probably who left with Daniel who would hang their heads and grab on to all that is Babylon. In the midst of defeat, we start looking for answers. Amen? Lord, this is too big for me. More than I expected. God sends a message to Daniel. I raise up kings, and I take them down. You see, we have to remember that there is more turmoil headed towards Jerusalem. Right now, Jerusalem is fine, sitting under a puppet king, but they are fine. In 5 years, Jehoiakim will be pulled off the throne by Nebuchadnezzar, blinded, put a hook in his mouth, and drag him off to Babylon. And in his place, we put Zedekiah. And he will be the puppet of Nebuchadnezzar. And another invasion happens at that point. And 10 years after that, Nebuchadnezzar says, I'm tired of the revolt, I'm tired of all that stuff, and he moves in and he destroys Jerusalem and he destroys the temple and he takes the majority of the rest of the population into captivity. God says to Daniel, I'm doing all that. Judgment for sin. Daniel goes to Nebuchadnezzar. There is a God in heaven that reveals mysteries. And he is the one who is sending you a message. And there's nothing special about me. He just wants to make sure that you understand what's coming so that you can grab on. Amen? Friday night, I left church, actually, Dana and Yuseli were down there waxing that floor. If you go downstairs, you see, and you're blinded by the floor, you can put a hug on those ladies. Did a fine job. And I went home. I had heard of a Christian movie called Champion, and it was in the Red Box. So I'm gonna get this movie. I'm tired and can't work on the Super 88 anymore. I'm going to get the movie. I got over there on 49th at the 7-Eleven. I pull in, and here's this guy standing in front of the Red Box, talking into this car. I'm like, dude, I gotta come in. Come on. And so I kind of slide in next to him, and there's drama. You know what I mean when I say drama? Guys talking to girls sitting in the car. Drama. Like, okay. I mean, he's not being violent. But actually, he's kind of crying. And I kind of slide by him, and I look. Okay. Get my Christian movie. Yeah. And all of a sudden, I hear the guy talking about God. Really? Wow. And I'm thinking, you know what? I'm going to go talk to these guys. And there you go. Divine appointment right there. God comes near. Here you go. I'm like, okay, you know. And I'm like, and grab my movie. And the guy walks by. I mean, they're just like, 8 feet. And I'm like, oh, I'll go talk to the girl. And I grab my mirror around, and she's pulling out. I'm like, well, the guy went into the 7-Eleven and said, he's my guy. And so I'm waiting. And I'm waiting, 30 whole seconds. And I'm going, man, maybe he didn't go in the store. So looking, oh, there he is. And he comes out, and he's got 2 big Tecates. Here we go. And literally, I say, hey, guy, heard you talking about God. I work for him. And he said, no, I'm done. I said, really? He says, I'm done with God. And I'm thinking, dude, what are the chances? I mean, here you are, you got drama going on with your old lady. And here I am. God's talking to me about talking to you. And in that moment, God came near to him. And he said, no thanks. And he turned away. Sometimes that happens. Amen? All right. Last thing I got for you. It's a bunch of text. The plan of God. Verses 36 to 44. This was the dream, and I will interpret it. That's the dream right there. That's what we read in the beginning. Okay? We're going to go ahead and read this right now. It says, and we will interpret it to the king. Your majesty, you are the king of kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands, he has placed all mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds in the air. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them all. You are that head of gold. After you, another kingdom will arise, inferior to you. Next, a third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, for iron breaks and smashes everything. And as iron breaks things to pieces, and as iron breaks things, I'm trying to think, I don't know why I can't, to pieces, so it will crush and break all the others. Just as you saw that the feet and toes were partly of baked clay and partly of iron, so this will be a divided kingdom. Yet it will have some of the strength of the iron in it, even as you saw iron mixed with clay. As the toes were partly iron and partly clay, so this kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and will not remain united any more than iron mixes with clay. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it itself will endure forever. The dream and the interpretation. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream of a statue. This is the interpretation. There's all kinds of pictures you see online. Babylon, he says, you are the beginning, and Nebuchadnezzar is going to bring judgment upon Israel, and he is the start of this whole plan. Then we have the Medo-Persian Empire, we have Alexander the Great, and we have Rome. And through Rome, we have the modern nation states of today. And that's why I said earlier that we have a plan that starts with Nebuchadnezzar and continues on through today. The God of heaven is going to carve out a rock. Sets up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. You think, wait a minute. How can I believe that? And realistically, as Daniel is rolling all this stuff out, how can Nebuchadnezzar believe it? Well, Nebuchadnezzar can believe it because of the accuracy of the picture of the statue. And he grabs on to that, and he holds on to that. And then he says that there is a kingdom that is going to come. There is a rock that is going to destroy all these other kingdoms of men forever. And he says that they are going to blow away like dust in the wind. And I want to let you know this morning that that rock is Jesus. And he comes close. He comes near so that we have the opportunity to grab on. Amen? All right. Last thing I got for you, verses 45 through 48. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true, and its interpretation is trustworthy. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and the revealer of mysteries, for you are able to reveal this mystery. Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all his his wise men. Nebuchadnezzar has no doubts. Pays honor and homage, tribute to Daniel and to the King of Kings. Says, comes to the realization that the God of Israel is different than all the other gods that are around him. That the king of the God of Israel is different than Marduk, the king of the god of Babylon, God of Israel comes close, gives Nebuchadnezzar something to grab onto. And he proves himself with the picture of the dream. And he says, you can trust what comes next because of what has already happened. See, and you can sit here this morning, you say, that's all fine and dandy, but I never had a dream. What does he give me that I can grab onto? Well, there's the prophecy. Because we can look in our history books and know that Babylon was there. And following Babylon comes Persia. And following Persia, Alexander the Great, the kingdom of Greece. And following in that, Rome. The legs of iron. And so we might not have the dream, but there's five components of the prophecy. We can grab onto the four that have been already proved true to know that there is a rock that comes near and we can grab on. Amen? You know, at least you can come up. Just finished this series. Oh, I need a text. We just finished this series on Romans. In Romans chapter 1, God reveals himself to the Gentiles through creation, and they suppress that truth, and God pours out his wrath upon them. And then we find out that God reveals his righteousness in his Son, the man Jesus Christ, who comes and lives a sinless life and hangs on a cross for the sins of Israel, and rather than receive God's righteousness, they choose to make their own. Amen? See, God comes near, and each have the opportunity to grab on. But just like that guy at 7-Eleven, nah, God comes near, and they turn away. And the church in Rome is embroiled in squabbles and turmoil over tradition. But here, we see God reveal himself to a Gentile and a Jew. And the two of their lives will be knit together and establish the plan of God in Israel for the next 70 years and extend all the way to the time of Christ. See, God comes near to them and they grab on. And if you read the book of Daniel, Daniel is a spiritual stud. I mean, there is no wavering in Daniel. Lion's Den, just everything. Nebuchadnezzar has some challenges. We're going to talk about those challenges next week. But the final words recorded by Nebuchadnezzar in the Bible, Daniel chapter 4, verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of Heaven, because everything he does is right, and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. He's talking about himself. God came near to Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar grabbed on. How's your grip? Rock's coming. Rock comes near. Rock is in this place today. Jesus comes near and he says, so many of you are grabbing on. So many of you have received a vision of the power and the plan that God has for you and the mighty things that he would do. And you say, Lord, I want to be part of that. Can I get a witness on that? And I tell you what, it's life-changing. It's life-changing to you, Sally. And man, I don't roll that way. Somebody messes with me, they messed up. And God says, I want you to do something different. I want you to grab on. And so many of you are. And so for so many of you, it's more than I expected. But he's a revealer of mysteries. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you are good, mighty, and awesome. Lord, and I thank you that you come to this place, that you guide and direct us, and that you come near, and that you give us the opportunity to grab onto you. Perhaps you're here this morning, and you are thinking, this is more than I expected. And this morning you say, Lord, it's more than I expected, but I'm not letting go. Nebuchadnezzar went crazy for 7 years. Talk about that next month or next week. You don't need that. Say, Lord, I want to be like Daniel. Grab on, keep on grabbing on, keep my focus on you. Do more than I can imagine. Do more than I can picture. Give me power, give me wisdom, give me understanding, give me the ability to grab on and keep on grabbing. Maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and Jesus comes near to you and says, you have not yet grabbed on. Here I am. Don't be like that guy in 7-Eleven. Here's your opportunity. Time for you to grab on. God's speaking right to your heart this morning. Says, here I am. Reach out. Grab my hand. Let's walk into eternity together. They'll be looking around. God, speaking to your heart and say, Lord, that's more than I expected, but it's all that I ever want. Lord, I want to grab on. I'm going to do whatever you want. That's you this morning. I just want you to slide your hand up just quickly. Say, that's me this morning. Lord, I hear your voice. I want to respond to you back here. Amen. Somebody else say, that's me right here. Somebody else say, that's me right over here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is saying, here I am, right here in this place. Grab onto me and follow. God, speaking to your heart. You didn't put your hand up before. He's speaking right to you right now. It's you. I just want you to slide your hand up. Say, that's me. I'm going to do this. I want to be transformed in my existence. Right here. Anybody else? Anybody else? Hallelujah. Right back here. Right there. Hallelujah. We're all going to stand. The worship team's going to come. You know, Nebuchadnezzar lay prostrate straight before Daniel, before the Lord. You want to grab onto him, I invite you to come and to kneel right up here. I want to pray with you. It is a step that the prideful can't make, but the humble can, to humble yourself before the King of Kings and the Lord of Kings. Amen? So I invite you, put your hand up, come up here. I want to pray with you, and we're going to sing. Hallelujah.